Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Rhode Island State Senate voted decisively yesterday evening to pass legislation allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry in the Ocean State. It's also been passed by the Rhode Island House, and when signed by Governor Lincoln Chafee, it will make Rhode Island the last state in New England to allow same-sex marriage.
Here's one of the sponsors of the bill, Senator Donna Nesselbush, who's openly gay, as she spoke on the Senate floor last night.
To each and every senator in this room, the eyes of the nation are upon us, and we are poised to become the 10th state in the nation to join the force for equality that is sweeping our great nation.
The vote, a historic one for the Ocean State, comes just a few weeks after the bill looked as though it was doomed. Joining us now is political analyst at Rhode Island Public Radio from Providence, Scott McKay. And Scott, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Greetings from the Ocean State.
Greetings to you. So why did it look as though this bill wouldn't see the light of day? What was going on?
Well, what happened originally was the Democratic leadership, run by a woman named Teresa Pivel-Weed. She's the Senate president. She's from Newport. And her majority leader, a senator named Dominic Ruggiero from Providence, both practicing Catholics, both listening to, we have a very aggressive bishop here, Bishop Thomas Tobin, the Roman Catholic bishop of the Providence Diocese. He's very outspoken. He's never shy about using the pulpit on this issue, a vigorous campaign against it. However, they ran up against a changed universe.
Interesting. So what was the impetus for the shift, or what explained that change universe? How do you define
it? Well, there are a couple of big things. First of all, the cork was in the bottle on gay marriage in Rhode Island for 8 years under Governor Don Carcieri. He was a conservative Republican who had red state social views in this very cobalt blue state. Rhode Island is a very Roman Catholic state, as you know, second in the country to Massachusetts at about 62% in the number of people who identify with Roman Catholicism. So you had that aspect. But the governor threatened to veto anything. And so for years, even the supporters here in the legislature were loath to bring it up, because why bring a controversial issue up that you might have to take a tough vote on if you can't put it into law?
Yeah, we've got a clip of tape from your Senate President, Teresa Pivel-Weed. Let's listen to it.
It was very important that the bill have a full hearing, bills have a full hearing in the committee, be fully debated, and have an opportunity for the members on the floor to debate and vote the bill.
So it sounds like she had a bit of a change of heart, at least in allowing the bill to come up for a vote.
Yeah, you know how politicians, they have epiphanies. Everybody says they move on an issue. Have you ever noticed when they evolve on an issue, they evolve to the side that now has 51% of the polling numbers? And that's what happened here. A group known as Rhode Islanders United for Marriage hired some seasoned political operatives, two gentlemen who had worked on the Obama campaigns, and they built this very strong coalition that included, obviously, gay rights activists, but also organized labor, some major elements of the business community, supportive mainline Protestant and Jewish clergy, progressive and liberal Democrats, and even moderate Republicans. The small five-member Republican caucus, only five out of 38 senators in Rhode Island are state senators, are Republicans, but the entire caucus announced its support for same-sex marriage on the eve of the Senate debate. And this group, organized again as Rhode Islanders United for Marriage, did this blitz campaign, very smart grassroots campaign, thousands of people over the last few weekends knocking on doors, going to the districts of these senators who were wavering or who said they were neutral, and just ginning up a very strong telephone campaign door-to-door, filling the inboxes. The Senate leader reportedly got 200 messages from the supporters of gay marriage and only four from the opponent.
All right, and that made all the difference. And, of course, Governor Lincoln Chafee has said he'll sign the bill. So Rhode Island makes history on gay marriage. Scott McKay, political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio in Providence, thanks so much for joining us.
Great, Anthony. Thanks to you.
Now, back to politics here in Massachusetts. This week, we've been featuring profiles of the candidates in the special election for the U.S. Senate. Today, Congressman Stephen Lynch, who launched his campaign at the Ironworkers Hall in South Boston.
Now, first of all, we are just a very short distance from the Old Colony housing projects, where my mom and dad and my five sisters and I lived in a small three-bedroom apartment, one bathroom, five sisters. Spent most of my time waiting to use the bathroom. But we lived there for 15 years, and that's really the beginning of my story.
Lynch says that when he was growing up, all he wanted to be was an iron worker, like his father. But now he says he wants to be this state's next senator. WBUR's Fred Tice prepared our profile.
Stephen Lynch began his campaign against long odds. His rival in the Democratic primary, Congressman Ed Markey of Malden, is better financed and ahead in the polls. But State Representative Marty Walsh, who represents Dorchester, part of Lynch's congressional district, points out that Lynch has always prevailed against the political odds.
Anything he's run for, he has been the underdog, the guy who can't win. I've been on opposite sides of him in a race. When he ran for state senate here in South Boston many years ago, he just works hard. He's going to outwork, he outworks people, and he has a great story.
At the Iron Workers Hall, Lynch tells that story. He says growing up in the projects in South Boston shaped his worldview.
I learned that, you know, affordable housing isn't just a government program. It was my home. And not just my home, but the home for a lot of families that are struggling.
Lynch is still a dues-paying member of the Iron Workers Union. He says his path as an iron worker was neither smooth nor straight.
I remember working in the night shift over at Quincy Shipyard, General Dynamics, as a welder. And I remember the company had massive layoffs because of foreign competition, and they finally closed that plant down. And I found myself in the unemployment line. I worked for a while at General Motors plant in Framingham.
Shortly after Lynch arrived, he says, GM closed the plant.
Sometimes there are forces in our global economy that throw workers out of work and place families in a tough spot. I know what it's like to stand in an unemployment line. It's something that you never forget. That feeling of insecurity, especially if you have a family relying on you.
Lynch is 58. He and his wife, Margaret, have a daughter. He says being unemployed taught him that in severe economic times, sometimes only government can provide relief.
I also learned that misguided trade policies can create incentives for corporations to move jobs overseas just to exploit low-wage workers and lax environmental standards and regulations. And I learned that those aren't just trade agreements. It's someone's job, and it was my job.
Lynch says education has been the key to his life.
Education has propelled every forward step that I've taken, from the Old Colony projects to the houses to the halls of Congress.
Lynch went to South Boston High School, Wentworth Institute of Technology, and Boston College Law School. He made the transition from iron worker to politics in 1994 when he was elected state representative. Lynch boils down his campaign message to this essence.
I will not fit in the United States Senate, but neither would you.
Lynch has sometimes been a lone voice in the Massachusetts congressional delegation. For years, from 2002 to 2006, he was the only Massachusetts member of Congress to vote against allowing women in the military to have abortions at overseas military hospitals, even if they paid for it themselves. Lynch explains his general position on abortion.
I have never seen the repeal of Roe v. Wade as part of any solution, so I have not worked at that. On the other hand, I've actually stood on the floor of the House and defended funding for Planned Parenthood to try to get counseling money and birth control funding and contraceptive access for women who don't want to get pregnant. I think that's the way you reduce abortion, is to reduce unwanted pregnancies.
Lynch was also the lone vote from Massachusetts against final passage of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. 2001 was an important year in Lynch's career and in his personal life. He donated half his liver to his brother-in-law. Later that year, he won election to Congress. The Democratic primary took place on 9/11, while most people in Massachusetts stayed riveted to their television sets. Marty Walsh points out that Lynch won that primary thanks to his South Boston base, which rallied behind him to push him ahead in a field of 9 candidates.
It really wasn't about those in the race. The race was about neighborhood to neighborhood, street to street. And that's really what that race was all about. And if you remember, on Election Day, it was September 11th. And Stephen, that day, had the people prepared, the army prepared to get people out to vote.
Similar conditions apply now. It's a special election, and the state's attention has been consumed by the marathon bombings. There's not a lot of appetite for politics. And last year, Lynch was the biggest vote-getter of the state's 9 members of the U.S. House of Representatives. Perfect conditions, perhaps, for the iron worker who grew up in the projects of South Boston to surprise everyone once again.
WBUR's Fred Tice with that profile of Congressman Stephen Lynch. Our series of Senate profiles continues tomorrow with Republican candidate Dan Winslow. There's more ahead. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.